Hi, and welcome to Introduction to Animal Communication with Joan Ranquette. Joan Ranquette is an animal communicator, author, and speaker. Joan's book, Communication with All Life, Revelations of an Animal Communicator, is published by Hay House. She has also released two CDs, A Guided Meditation for Communication with All Life, and Animal Alchemy, Healing Modalities for All Life. Joan has acted as a translator for healing human and animal relations, helping with behavior problems, isolating the discomforts of illness, and easing crossing over. She teaches beginning and advanced animal communication and animal alchemy, energy work for all life. Joan has been featured in dozens of media, including Pet Nation on Dateline NBC, The Today Show on NBC, Good Morning America on ABC, Animal Planet, The National Enquirer, The Los Angeles Times, The Sun Sentinel, and The Palm Beach Post. She was the celebrity animal communicator in a short documentary on the AMC channel. She is also the founder of Communication with All Life University. You can also listen to Joan's radio show, Pet Talk Live, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. The shows will be archived in case you happen to miss any of the exciting topics, but you'll want to call in and have Joan talk to your pet live on the show. And now here's Joan Ranquette.
Thank you, and welcome. I love teaching animal communication because I, as much as I've been doing it professionally for about 14 years now, I really believe we're all animal communicators, and I teach in my university, obviously, an accredited program for people to become animal communicators, but I also teach little groups, big groups all over the country, in bookstores, in barn aisles, just how simple it really is, and how animal communication works, or the way that they're communicating with each other at all times, is through the use of telepathy. Telepathy is the transference of pictures, words, and feelings. When we are thinking about something, what we don't realize is that we're actually forming a picture. Now, our animals have been tuning in for quite a while and realize that we have tuned them out, and so a lot of times they'll get bored or not even try to communicate with us anymore after a certain point. But at the end of the day, when you start to open this up, it's an amazing world to start to understand. People, again, as I said a moment ago, don't understand that they think in pictures, and I really, really, really want to review that. I know many of you out there have experienced walking into a room and feeling the feelings of a person or an animal. I mean, certainly, almost, I mean, when I get people to raise hands in groups, everybody raises their hand over the feelings. Everyone has experienced some form of telepathy, and everyone identifies that they have experienced feelings. So say you walk into a room and you can just sense that a dog is sad. Sometimes you can feel when somebody walked in and just drops off their bad mood. A lot of times we can feel the physical sensations of another, but we don't realize it. I like to joke that how many times have you gone to the chiropractor for someone else's backache? We are feeling all the time, and we are not necessarily generating all these feelings that we go through. Another form is in the form of words. Many people experience picking up words from an animal. Now, that one isn't as common. People don't realize that they've picked up words. But a lot of times, I ask people all the time, do you think that every time you walked over to the front door and picked up the leash, that that was actually your idea? I mean, honestly, we don't generate all of our ideas. I like to think that a lot of what we do is influenced on things around us, whether it's our family or our friends or even some sort of global feeling. Certainly in this last economic downturn, many, many, many people on a global level experienced and felt fear. Thankfully, we're learning to come out of this, and I can't wait for the day that we all sign up for experiencing group bliss, but apparently there aren't enough signatures on that petition yet. Anyway, I really think about the fact that we are constantly absorbing information. So we talked about the idea that the pictures, or the that we always think in pictures. We've talked about the idea that probably 98% of you are going to admit to experiencing a feeling from an animal. My guess is it's about 65 of you listening to this, 65% of you listening to this right now, that are going to actually realize that a concept, an idea, maybe even words specifically have popped into your head. I had one woman follow me around a horse show once. I was out there talking to horses, and she was like, well, I just don't believe in animal communication one bit. And I was like, fine, why are you following me? And so I continued my day, and I, you know, went from horse to horse that I was, you know, that for the people that had signed up for me to talk to their horse. Finally, this woman corners me, and she said, okay, I want you to talk to my daughter's pony. I have to tell you, a year ago, I had to have my dog's leg amputated, and when I went to pick the dog up and put her in the back of the car, I was on the freeway, and I heard, why did you let them take my leg? She said she was so flipped out, she actually had to pull over. So there are times that we hear voices that are other than our own, and we'll get to that in a minute. So the third category, and really almost the most surprising category for everybody, is that we always are thinking in pictures. And when I talk to groups, a lot of times I'll ask the people that raise their hand right away about the idea that they see in pictures, because usually those people are artists, are designers, are photographers, or they're just more artistically inclined. I came to this from more of a feeling and then eventually words. I had to work very hard to see pictures. And it's funny now because I'm really good at it. I overworked that muscle, so to speak. When we are thinking of something, we are thinking in pictures. And it's really hard to believe until you start to experience it. But I'm going to actually say some words right now. And I want you to acknowledge to yourself if you did see pictures. So here we go. Red apple, St. Louis arch, hummingbird, artichoke, school bus, taxis on a busy street in New York City, the Eiffel Tower, the Space Needle, a bunch of lemons, a Palomino horse. My guess is that most of you started to see pictures. So if telepathy is the transference of pictures, words, and feelings, and they are, they being the animals, in a state of doing this at all times, then they're able to really, really see our pictures, words, and feelings. They're really able to experience our feelings. If we come home from work in a bad mood, they're going to definitely sense that bad mood. And then they've got sort of default behavior based on our bad moods. I always joke that all my cats, I thought their first name was No for the longest time. There are certain words that the animals automatically know that we are saying to them. They understand many, many words. But more importantly than words, they understand a lot of concepts. So if our words aren't necessarily matching the concept, that's when we're really sending a mixed message, and that's when we get into real trouble. A lot of times we don't realize that also, and this is just the most common mistake, we obsess about something in such a way that we're reviewing the pictures over and over and over, almost as if we're saying, okay, I want to watch that one again. When we do that, again, if we're not aware that telepathy is a transference of pictures, words, and feelings, it's not like I can sit here and think about the fact that, you know, my dog likes to eat cat poop and not have her see that I'm thinking about that. There's a certain transparency when you're living in a home with your animals or if you're out at a barn every day with a horse. So they pick up on this stuff whether we like it or not. So if I'm obsessing about a certain behavior that I don't want, or the fact that, you know, my animal is not feeling well and seems to be dropping weight, and, oh my God, I can't stop this illness, guess what? We are sending that picture whether we like it or not. So it's a really, really, really important thing, if we can, to work on seeing the picture of what it is that we do want. There are certain things that we're not going to change in instinct, like I doubt. I don't know, maybe that should be my grand experiment. I was going to say, you know, just set up a line of boxes, of litter boxes, and see if my dog Isabella will just walk on by. But that would also require a little bit of training. Training on the part of my mind, and then some dog training for me. But I also, you know, there's a lot of things that are like that, that we say, oh, there's no way I am going to get my horse across the river. There is no way my horse is ever going to do that water jump. There is no way I am going to walk my dog down the street and, you know, he's not going to nip at the neighbor dog. There is no way my cat is going to not pee on the rug. You see, when we're thinking these thoughts, you could be sitting in an office in a high-rise building thinking about the cat peeing on the Persian rug. And guess what? That was like hitting send on your email. That information got sent so fast. Now, the problem with this also is that our feelings involved color their behavior. So if we are experiencing a certain amount of frustration and we are picturing that the cat is using the Persian rug for its own litter box, they're not figuring out that we are frustrated because of the Persian rug. They're just seeing we're frustrated and it looks like I'm supposed to pee on the Persian rug. So that's where it's very, 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 very important to really, anytime you catch yourself picturing that behavior that you don't want, you need to replace that picture instantly with the picture you want. And the picture you want is the cat using the litter box. The picture you want is the horse going across the river. The picture you want is flying over the water jump. The picture you want is your dog walking by that boxer and just having a little sniff in the air and actually wagging its tail as if to say hello. The picture you want is that the cat starts to gain weight because the health is coming back. The picture you want is that limp is a little bit better. Oh, it's undetectable. The picture you want is that you actually are getting along and you have a ride that is completely joyous and harmonious. You have to keep finding ways to reinvent the picture for yourself. I liken telepathy to using a muscle that we haven't used for a really long time. So let's say we used this language at first. This was the language that when we popped into the world, we were using telepathy to communicate. And we learned that we could share and connect and even manipulate with certain things like laughing, crying, screaming. We learned a lot really quickly. However, the main communication was delivered through pictures, words, and feelings. And it's a place where words aren't as important. A mother and a child are deeply connected. Do you need to say, and I love you? It's said, it's done, it's in that world. That's the world the animals live in. Sometimes they become very, 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 very specifically honed in on some instinctual thing, but for the most part, they're available for that sort of feeling of unconditional love, of bliss, and it's expressed. It doesn't have to have the boundaries of words. So we also lived like that at one point. And as we learned language, the telepathy went out the window. Or we use it for things like, oh, I knew that was you that was calling, or, you know, long before caller ID, we could actually pick up on who was calling us, or we're thinking about somebody extra hard, and there's a letter in the mailbox from them when you get home that day. There's a lot of ways that we still continue to use telepathy, but for the most part, it's gone. It's a lost art, so to speak. When it comes time to human interaction, so the muscle has lost its tone. The muscle is harder. It needs some conditioning. It's all there. We are all doing this at all times. And I also always like to say that, you know, telepathy, doing telepathy, sending or receiving, is not actually an action verb. It's more like a state of being. So I like to think that through the classes, through the book, through a lot of the things that I teach, I'm helping you to remind you about these muscles and asking you to flex them a little bit. So you can't expect that, you know, you're going to turn this little recording off and just all of a sudden have, you know, the full disclosure from your dog. Although you might. I mean, you might, since this idea has been presented to you, you may be one of those that just is able to suddenly hear everything from the frogs having a conversation to birds picking up on each other to what your cat has to say about food. So you might be that type, but there's probably a good portion of you, just based on having been teaching now for 10 years, that get it more incrementally. And you start building on that. You start building that muscle. And so you might do something like sit and get quiet and imagine that you have a field of energy around you at all times. And if you were to expand that just a little bit, and that expansion included your dog or cat or horse in your aura for a moment, you may have the experience of the transference of pictures, words, and feelings, and you might want to write it down. One of the reasons that a class is so great is that we are frequently working with each other, and it's a safe place, and it's a place where you can get the information verified, which is really important. And that builds your trust. It's really hard for people in the beginning to trust themselves. So a lot of times, I mean, I feel like the mantra is always, first couple times someone talks to an animal in the classes, I don't know if I'm making this up, but I saw blah, 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 or I heard blah, 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 or I feel blah, blah, blah. So we all have that feeling at first that we are making this up, and that's where getting it verified and being in a safe spot builds the trust. The other thing that's really important is practicing, and practicing where you can get it verified and you trust the person. It's, you know, if you just do it here and there, it's sort of like thinking that you can go out and run a marathon without working out and building up to it, or that you'll do 3 marathons a year and in the meantime you're just going to kind of eat Pringles on the couch. So it is something that should be practiced, and practicing in a space where you get to build your trust. Don't run out and get your most skeptical friend, you know, somebody that's with the, like, skeptic society and say, hey, I want to talk to your cat. That's probably not the person that you want to start out with. But since it is a muscle to be worked, it is a really important thing to practice. The other thing is, actually, because I have so many students around the country, I have a social networking site up called communicationwithalllifeu.ning.com, and you are more than welcome to join it and exchange pictures with some of the students on the site there and start practicing that way. That's another great way. And so that brings up another thing, pictures, sending a picture. 85% of my work is sitting on the phone with an emailed picture to me that I am communicating with. So I do sessions on the phone all over the country, actually all over the world. And you're going to think to yourself, well, how would I get it from a picture? Why would I join that social networking site and put pictures of my dogs up? Because pictures hold the energy. So just like if you closed your eyes and really kind of got out of your head for a moment and just thought about maybe your favorite aunt or your favorite uncle or somebody that doesn't live anywhere near, and you just sort of asked yourself, I just want to have a sense of that person for a moment, you'd pretty quickly be filled with either, you know, maybe you'd feel a sense of frustration, maybe you'd feel a sense of happiness, maybe you would just feel a sense of love because you love them so much. But there is a way of tuning in to just the energy, actually, without pictures. I mean, when I'm on a radio show, it's not like we have time to get pictures. So the pictures hold the energy, and people are able to connect up with that energy, and then the floodgates open. At first, you know, as I said, it's incremental, but once you start doing this a lot, you've practiced a lot, you trust yourself, you've had it all verified, then as much information can flood before you from a picture as would if you were to sit down in front of my dog, get quiet, close your eyes, and connect with her. So we've talked about the pictures, feelings, words. We've talked about using this as a muscle. It's actually amazing how simple it is and yet so hard. And why is it hard? Because we get in our own way. We have to think about it. You know, when you look at an animal in the wild, they can be in fight or flight, or they can just be enjoying the day. They can be on a moment of prey. They can be a moment of being the predator. They're not sitting around thinking. We have that problem. Now, that problem has served us very well because somebody thought up, you know, elevators. Somebody thought up some really good things. But for the most part, a lot of our thinking can really, really, really get in the way. That's where meditation comes in. I've been meditating for years. I actually have a guided meditation on the site on www.joanranquette.com. But if you have some other form of meditation, I don't even, yoga, anything, going out and walking, rhythmically breathing, whatever it is that you do that gets your mind quiet, that is A, not only going to help you with animal communication, but B, it's going to be a really great thing in your life. Why is this so important? Well, as I said earlier in this, let's pretend that 85% of what we actually think isn't original to us. It was telepathically picked up from all over the world, no matter what we were exposed to. If you have some form of practice, like a meditation, or even, I really still believe that certain aerobic exercises lend themselves to this sort of thing just because of you're following the rhythm. When you're able to have a really good sense of what makes you, what stops the buzz, what stops all the words, what stops all the chatter, when you have an idea of the landscape of your mind, that's when you can become very aware that a good portion of what comes into your mind didn't originate with you. And one of the ways you'll know that is it will have almost a different, not feeling, but it'll have a different piece of fabric all of a sudden sitting there in your mind. If your mind is one way, this other thing is going to have such a subtle but different, it's just going to be very different. That's one way that meditation is really important, because you will know your own mind and you'll know when the information that you think you're thinking is actually information you're getting from another being. Another reason that meditation is really important is because you can clear, well, first of all, let's say you're one of those that definitely picks up on the physical sensations of others, but maybe you're not aware of it this minute. So let's say you have a certain awareness because of meditation. Now you walk through a barn aisle and you're thinking, oh my God, my lower back is killing me. What the hell did I do? I don't remember actually hurting this bad. So all of a sudden, you're like really sore. You're thinking, that's not so great. You would have an awareness at some point with the practice of meditation that, oh, you know what? I woke up feeling pretty good. Maybe this isn't mine. And at that point, you can make almost the mental choice to really, really let it go. There's no point in keeping around some horse that, you know, does three-day eventings, bad back. Now, of course, it'd be nice to get the chiropractor in there, but in the meantime, you don't have to take that on. And we do that all the time. I remember there's a horse trainer friend of mine that I work with a lot with animals, and she was taking me to go talk to a friend of hers' horse, and she ended up, I got in her car, and I looked at her and I said, oh my goodness, what did you do to your sciatica? She goes, I know it's bad. You know, there's a certain point that when you're aware that your mind gets quiet, you're aware of your own very simple aches and pains, you all of a sudden realize when something hits you, this might not be mine. And it's equal. It's not just physical sensations. It's mental thoughts, and it's also feelings. There's some people that can walk into a room, dump a bad mood, and run, and they're off feeling great, and the rest of us are all going, man, this sucks. So you really, the meditation brings an awareness on, whether you ever end up being an animal communicator or not, the meditation would end up being great for just having a general awareness and avoiding some of the pitfalls that thinking too much or being unaware can lead to. So those are some of the basics. I talk a lot about these things in my book, Communication with All Life, Revelations of an Animal Communicator. And, of course, I love getting people to meditate, whether they buy my guided meditation or not. You are always welcome to come join one of the Animal Communication teleseminars. And even better, you can join us wherever I'm teaching. When I teach in Orlando, outside of Orlando or outside of Seattle, or even just, you know, some of the other places I teach, it's not limited to just the university. A lot of people take the classes and really have fun, and a lot of the university people are there, so it brings a great mix of beginning through advanced, and it's just fun to always be around other wacky animal people. So please join us somewhere on the road and or on the phone. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Joan. And for more information on Joan Ranquette or any of her classes or events or products, please go to www.joanranquette.com. Thank you.